welcome back, or good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are. I am Jim Rome. I'm in Southern California, and more specifically, I'm in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Third hour is going to be a very busy one. It is fight week, finally. Mayweather and McGregor. Dana White joins me in 35 minutes. We'll get his thoughts as we finally get into the week of the fight. That's coming up. I've got my thoughts on the fight also coming up. An announcement about the program coming up. Couple of quick hit tweets to set up hour number three. Pauly T. Wall tweets, eclipse day, sun's out, dumb's out. That's a good point. That's one of the better takes on the eclipse. It's brought out some really dumb tweets and takes. The Real Left Hook tweets, hey, sun, tell me how my ass tastes. Sign the moon. See? Sun's out, dumb's out. Anton Himmel tweets, I know we shouldn't stare at the sun, but we should have kept a watchful eye on them, signed Jose and Kitty Menendez. Another play on sun. We shouldn't stare at the sun, but we should have kept a watchful eye on them. Hey, Anton, were you not the guy that said that you would never, ever participate ever again? That when I saw you at that tour stop in Tampa, you said you'd never come again, you'd never call again, you'd never tweet again. Anton, you were this close to being blocked. That could be my second major announcement. The announcement, and then the announcement that you got blocked. The announcement. All right, so here is my news for you. A major announcement in my mind. I'm pumped, and I'm proud to announce a brand new original content podcast is dropping next week on August 29th. Once again, a brand new original content podcast dropping next week, August 29th. Now, this is not the radio show condensed and repurposed. This is a fresh content, or this is fresh content, on top of everything that you're already getting in the jungle. In other words, an entirely new program on top of the 3 hours that you get every single day in the jungle. A new show where I can turn off the clock and give some breathing room that's necessary to my conversations with the biggest names in sports and entertainment. We can go places and talk about things that we simply cannot get to on this radio program or go to. It's a different beast. You're not going to want to miss this. So what you need to do in preparation is get to iTunes and Google Play and subscribe. And after you hear the first episode, do me a solid, leave a review. It's that easy. You find it, you subscribe to it, you review it, you enjoy it. Now, I've wanted to do something like this for a long time. And I'll tell you what got me thinking about this initially was the Showtime show that I used to do. Because on that program, we could literally do and say whatever we wanted to do or say. It was a totally different animal. And I'm going to approach this the same way. I've wanted to do something like this for a long time. Long-form conversations and, of course, some takes and some blasts and some content that you have not heard before. The Daily Jungle is going to remain. We're going to still do that for quite some time. But the point of that is, and I like that product a lot, and it serves a purpose, it's a way for you to get caught up and dialed in, or maybe if you can't find the jungle, you can find the very best of the jungle in a daily recap. But that's not what this is. Again, this is premium content, brand new jungle content, exclusive content, content that you cannot get on this show. And it's going to be delivered to you for free every week to start. So once again, make sure you're locked in on iTunes and Google Play. The Jim Rome Podcast. It's easy to remember. Jim Rome Podcast. It's going to be here next week. Get ready. It's going to drop next week. August 29th is the day. Brand new podcast. And as we get closer, I will announce who the first guest is going to be. And it's going to evolve. And frankly, I think you might hear me talk about things on that podcast that I normally do not talk about on this show. I know it'll be content that you haven't heard on this show. So that's my announcement. I'm pumped up about that. Excited about that. The Jim Rome Podcast. The brand new podcast. Starting August 29th. Exclusive content. New content. Long form interviews and more. Also, it is fight week. We pick up that conversation right now. Finally, it's here. Mayweather and McGregor. I've got Dana White coming up later on this hour. And we've talked to him for so long about the fight. And luckily, finally, it's here after all the hype, all the promotion, everything that's gone into it. And by the way, again, stop acting like you're not going to watch this, because you know you will. Because it is bigger than boxing and it is bigger than MMA. Call it a freak show, call it a circus, call it a sideshow, call it whatever you want, but it's one of those truly transcendent events. And there aren't that many of those. Boxing and MMA do not pull 5 million pay-per-views like this one might. At least that's what's being projected. And again, the reason for that is it's bigger than the two sports. People who don't care about either of those sports will watch this. You may not watch a fight the entire year in boxing. You may not watch a single MMA fight ever, but you'll watch this. And again, how many people do you know are having viewing parties that normally wouldn't give a damn about either boxing or MMA? You know, the type of people that are going to host those parties normally would never have a take about either one of these things, but they're going to throw a party because it's a transcendent event. So once again, the breakdown. Does Conor McGregor have any shot at winning this fight? I had my take going in, and my take fundamentally has not changed, but the more, again, that I see of Conor, the more I see and listen to Conor, and then when I look at his entire life and I look at his entire career, you know, there might be something here. Honestly, I'm not just saying this to kind of create the hype or to create interest, and I'm not going the other way just to go on contrarian. In fact, I'm not going the other way at all. Logically, I would have to say he's got no shot. I mean, he is bigger, he is younger, he is in his prime. Mayweather has been retired for 2 years. He did take that fight on short notice. So sure, I mean, Conor has a shot in that regard. But he's also never boxed professionally, and he's doing it against a guy who is arguably the best of his generation, if not of all time. And that guy's undefeated. And that guy's made some of the best boxers of this era look really, really bad. So how is a guy who has never boxed professionally going to have any shot against him at all? And the answer is, he really doesn't. Or at least he shouldn't. But here's the one thing that I keep going back to. The biggest single thing that has me interested in this fight, and hopeful that it's not a big waste of time, and the biggest cash grab ever. And that's that McGregor X factor. And the X factor is this. I want to say this guy is a living, breathing miracle, but he's not. Not in the sense that it's a miracle that he's in the middle of this situation. But this guy's life and his career certainly are miraculous, especially the last 5 years of it. This guy was a plumber's apprentice like 15 minutes ago, collecting unemployment checks like 15 minutes ago. And now he's the biggest thing in the world of MMA and one of the biggest things in the world of sports. The same guy who allegedly had no chance against Jose Aldo, a guy who was considered one of the best ever and who had not lost in a decade. And there's Floyd running his mouth about how he's going to put Aldo to sleep and that he's going to do it early in the fight. And then he went out and he did exactly that with one shot. So this guy just says and attempts some of the most impossible things ever, but then he goes out and he delivers and he backs it up and he does so routinely. So no, I don't think that Conor can win the fight. I'm not even sure Conor can make it a competitive fight. But then I keep going back and thinking about all the wild crap that this guy's already accomplished, what he has made of his life, and this legendary self-belief that he has. And it makes me think, can he? Maybe? And on the off chance that he does, I'm not going to be the only one in the world who missed it. Especially over something as baggy as thinking, I'm a boxing or combat fighter purist, and this is garbage. Yeah, to me, it's not. It's just a show. It's a show. It's an event. It's entertainment. It's something to get us to the start of the football season. And since I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money, do not tell me how to spend mine. Look, I know the biggest cash grab ever could turn out to be the biggest letdown ever. But even if that happens, I'm not going to be pissed because I went into this eyes wide open. I just hope that Floyd wants to stop McGregor as much as McGregor wants to stop Floyd. And that Floyd's not content just to pile up points and carry Conor for 12 rounds. Because a unanimous loss for McGregor, even if it's one-sided, is still a win for him. Instead of thinking of how crappy this might be, I'm thinking of how, against all odds, it might actually live up to the crazy hype. At least on some level. And even if it doesn't, I've never seen or heard of anything like this. And I don't know about you. Maybe you have something better to do. I don't. In the middle of summer, I just don't. I'm into it. I don't care. I'm into it. I want to see it. And I'm proud enough, or I don't mind saying it. Bring it on. Let's see what they got. Let's see if Connor can will his way to this like he has everything else in his life. And let's see how Floyd shows up. Floyd hasn't fought in 2 years. Floyd is 40. There might be some rust. And if there is some rust, could Connor catch him once? Can he catch him once? And if he catches him once, could he hurt him badly enough that he could get him in trouble and finish him? That's what we're all seeing. That's what we're all waiting on. I've got Dana White coming up. Let's see. And also, your reaction to the announcement. I've got a new podcast coming up. And again, in case you just missed the announcement, the podcast is original programming, exclusive programming. It is not repurposed the way our current Daily Jungle is. And that's going to drop next Tuesday. So look for it. Let's go to Clearwater. Mike in Florida. Good to have you on the show, Mike. How are you?
What's up, Jimmy? Congratulations on the podcast, man. Sounds cool. Can't wait to hear it.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I got to tell you, man, you know, there's no way I'm going to be able to watch that fight, man. Last couple of times I tried to go to my buddy's house to the party or whatever, we all get together. I can't stay up for it anyway. I'm that drunk drinking Coors Light all night long. I mean, here on the East Coast, it comes on at like 2 in the morning. Who can stay up for that? I can't even stay up for Monday Night Football anymore. Anyway, Jimmy, Ward, Danica, and Jacksonville getting the smack off 18, man. Have a great day, buddy. Peace.
All right, Mike, see ya. It's Danica, not Danica. Danica in Jacksonville, Danica Patrick. Danica, Danica. Listen, you made a point that I've long made about the East Coast. I've never really understood that. I've never really understood how those of you on the East Coast watch sports the way you do. Now, I guess you're all different. I mean, y'all eat dinner at 10 o'clock at night and stay out late, and you're accustomed to games starting at 9 p.m. And me being a Los Angeles native and growing up in the Pacific time zone, I've never, ever, ever understood that. So to me, that's not a bad reason not to watch that fight. To me, the reason being that I'm a purist and this is garbage and it's a joke and it's a cash grab, that to me is pretty weak. Especially since most of you saying that are going to watch it anyway. You know you are. But the argument that I can't stay awake, every time I try to stay awake for one of those fights, I fall asleep. I can remember, in fact, I went to do the NFL on CBS. And there have been fights when I've been back there to cover, and I'm like, I can't stay awake like that. Because the way those things go, when I fly back to the NFL on CBS and I do that show, I fly early on Saturday morning from Los Angeles, and generally I get into New York around 5:30, 6, 6:30, and then by the time you get your bag and then you drive from the airport to the hotel, I mean, that could take 2 hours. And then you settle into the hotel room and you've got kind of that jet, the day of travel thing going. You try and dial that down. And by the time you fall asleep, it's late. And then you got to get up early and go to a production meeting and do the show. And then I turn around and I come right back. Point being that when there's a late night sporting event prior to that show, it's hard for me to check out. And I've seen UFC events that night. And you're right, they go late. Because you can't really account for things that happen prior to the main event. So if you hit that thing hard and you get going around happy hour or even the dinner hour and you're waiting for that main event and you don't pace yourself, you're right, you are going to miss it. You'll probably be drunk and you'll miss it. So know that going in, you need to have a better plan. Just make sure you know that going in, that the main event is not going to go off until later at night. So why don't you just push the party back? Don't start so early. In terms of the podcast reaction, at Fuzzy716, is Larry Brown going to be the first guest? That would be a great way to crank up the new podcast. No, he is not. Steve, congrats on the new podcast. I'm looking forward to listening to it. Let the F-bomb fly. That's not why I'm doing that either, though. Yeah, I've done that, and look, there are certain words that I would never, ever say on this show that I used to say on premium cable. Certain words that don't have other alternatives. I don't want to get to it right now, but there are just certain things. There are certain words, like for instance, when I want to say something on this show and I know that I can't say it, I'll look for an alternative. And there are just certain words where there is not an alternative, not even a watered-down alternative. So that's what that's good for, but not to be gratuitous. Not to be, hey, I can say an F-bomb. Look at me. Great. Fun. Been there, done that. It's all right. But that's not why I'm doing it. Stephen H. Town tweets, great news for everybody not named at Pattisauer. Yeah, that's not going to affect Brett either way. Brett's not getting on that show either. TFP will eat tweets. We're not watching that Mayweather-McGregor fight. Signed, dorks who blinded themselves looking at the eclipse. Hopefully you treated that respectfully. All right, still ahead. Who do you like in the fight? Now we are at fight week. I think you can legitimately talk about this. What's going to happen? Is there any way, like, the McGregor nation thinks that there's no chance their guy, his guy or their guy can lose? That he's going to catch Floyd. The problem with that thinking is the best boxers in the world couldn't catch Floyd. So how is a guy who's never boxed professionally before going to catch Floyd? But then again, Conor's made an entire career of doing things that have never been done before. So maybe he can, possibly. Also, the coolest college football coach. Who do you think that is? I'm here to tell you it's not who you think it is. I'm going to try and get to that also. And I've got news on the Jets. All of that plus Dana White. Still ahead.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I've started the thought about Anquan Boldin a couple of times, but I haven't finished it. So let me do that right now. A couple of weeks after saying that he was planning to win another championship, he has pulled the plug now, saying that he has a higher calling than football. Quote, football has afforded me a platform throughout my career to have a greater impact on my humanitarian work. And at this time, I feel drawn to make the larger fight for human rights a priority. My life's purpose is bigger than football. End quote. My reaction is, there's no doubt in my mind he has a higher calling. And that he was going to commit himself fully to this once his career was over. Because I've seen the way he's conducted himself throughout his career off the field. So this is not a surprise at all. But did he really think that his career was going to be over 2 weeks after he signed that deal? Did he really think that he was going to commit to that higher calling within 2 weeks? And I mean full time. He's been committed to it, but he's talking about how I want to commit to this now. It's more important to me than football. Was it more important than football 2 weeks ago? I mean, if so, why sign in the first place? Why wouldn't you have just said, you know, I'm ready to commit to this now? Because he wasn't ready to commit to it just then. Not 2 weeks ago. He still wanted to play football. So, why sign in the first place if you're committed to this more than football? Because this is not what he signed up for. He signed up thinking the Bills would do everything they could to win right now. What else would a 36-year-old potential Hall of Famer be thinking? I want to go someplace where I can win right now. My window's about to slam shut. So that's why he did it, and that's exactly what he said. I'm doing it to win right now. He signed on August 7th. Quote, once again, playing to win another championship. That's what he said on the 7th. Then they deal away their most talented player, Sammy Watkins, 4 days later. And they trade for wide receiver Jordan Matthews, who fractured his sternum in his first practice. Then Tyrod Taylor goes out there, and he has a game where he finishes with a quarterback rating of 12. No wonder Anquan retired. I mean, is that not the epitome of for who, for what? For who, for what? He went there to contend for a title. They don't want to contend right now, so he's moving on to the next phase of his life. Of course he is. If they're not going to commit to doing everything they can to win, why would he? Not to mention, the guy probably decided he was not going to play his last year in the NFL with Nathan Peterman under center. With Nathan Peterman trying to get him to football. No offense, Nate. So Bills GM Brandon Bean can talk all he wants about how annoyed he is by all this tank talk. But it's not just the message boarders and the Twitter eggs who think it. It's his own players. Because there's no way a guy as proud and as dedicated as Anquan Boldin would just shut it down 2 weeks after committing if they weren't. I know he has a higher calling than football. Than even football. I believe him. and that committing to it was his plan all along once he was done playing, but the plan to commit to it was not 2 weeks after he signed. I'm going to suggest that his plan probably changed as soon as he discovered what the plan really was for the Bills. In other words, break it up, rebuild, and put themselves in a position where they can get the best possible quarterback they can in the 2018 draft. I don't even have a problem with that being their plan. My problem is with them saying it's not their plan. Because clearly it is. Go ask Anquan Boldin. That's not what he signed up for. I mean, how different does that team look already? How different does that team look than the one he signed up for on August 7th? It's August 21st. 2 weeks later, he's already done. And I don't blame him at all. PK tweets, I can never get enough of the Jim Rome Show. Bring on the podcast. Hashtag, can't wait.
Can't wait.
R. Swaff tweets, congrats on the new podcast. Will there be clone interaction? All right, did I not say that it was going to be premium content? Did I not say that it was going to be content that you could not get here in the jungle? And go ahead and try and call the podcast. Knock yourselves out. Try and call it. Try and tweet at it. Hey, do whatever you got to do. You know where to find me. I'm not hard to find. You have my Twitter feed. You have my email address. You have my telephone number. Call, tweet, email, Facebook, Gram. Do anything you want. The truth of the matter is, here's what I can say about the podcast. You're going to get long-form interviews, like a lot of podcasts, but I really feel like, and I think it's honestly, you know, you may feel otherwise, I think it's one of my strengths. I think I do a strong interview. I've done this a long time, but I can't always do the interviews that I want to do on this show in these 7 or 8 minute windows. And I think in terms of a long-form interview, I can do a different interview, in some cases a better interview. And I think that when guests realize where they are, I saw this on a Showtime show. It took a little while to educate the panelists and the guests as to where they were, but once they realized they were in a different place and they could go in a different direction, it made for a much better conversation, whatever it was, or a better debate. And that's what I'm going to do with the podcast. So I can guarantee you that. There are going to also be other things that I will get into that I haven't spent a lot of time in on this show that I think you'll appreciate. And then it's just going to evolve. It's like anything else. It's going to change. It's going to evolve. It's going to be fluid. It's going to be dynamic. I know that sounds vague, but it's just true. I'm going to start with what I'm known for. I'm going to give you a good interview. I'm going to give you some rants. I'm going to give you some strong content. And then we'll see where the thing goes. But I'm treating it not like a podcast where, oh, I got a podcast. I'm treating this like another show, another business, another form of content. This is extremely important to me. And I'm going to treat it as such. It's going to be worth your time. And again, it's not a hell of a lot you have to do to take advantage of it. Make sure you're locked in on iTunes and Google Play because the new Jim Rome podcast is going to drop next week on August 29th. And again, the difference is it's different than what we're doing right now. What we do right now is we condense, cut down, and repurpose the radio program for those of you who may have missed it. That's a good product in and of itself. That's going to remain there for a while. But concurrently and simultaneously, I'm going to give you an entirely new program of fresh content that you do not get on this show. So make sure you're ready for that. That is next Tuesday. Get to iTunes and Google Play. Make sure you subscribe. Do me a solid. Leave a review as well. It's that easy. Find it. Subscribe to it. Review it. And then enjoy it. And then rap about it. When we return, I've got Dana White coming up, president of the UFC. His final thoughts going into the fight, McGregor and Mayweather, that's next. Time for a sports update right now. Here it is. Rich Ackerman's got this one. ATP, Ask the Pros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Sign up and be an O-Rewards member today. Earn $5 back for every $150 you spend. Hurry into O'Reilly Auto Parts. Sign up and start earning each and every time you shop. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, checking out the ATP, the Ask the Pros. This question comes from San Diego. This guy's name is Joe. Then again, Joe's email address is ratfamily14 at Earthlink.
Thanks, Joe.
Well, man, I'm not sure what's worse. the domain or what's in front of it. His question is, a lot of people credit some luck or meeting the right person in their rise to success. How about you? Also, what parts of San Diego did you live in while at 690? Oh, 100%. I would never be where I am, wherever the hell it is I am, without having a lot of luck and a lot of the right people in the right place at the right time. See, when I came up, because I had a different way of doing things, I definitely needed people that were willing to put their neck out and say, hey, it's going to be fine. Because there was a lot of backlash. Because nobody had really done it the way I did it on the way up, there was a lot of heat that came with that. I never backed down because I always had this firm conviction that what I was doing was true to myself. Like, I had tremendous belief in myself and my approach, but it doesn't matter if the people who put you in that position fold, or when they take some heat, they back down. So at certain times in my career, when I needed somebody to believe in me or somebody to say, that's my guy, it's going to be fine, and take some of that heat, I had the right people in the right places. So there's no doubt. I mean, a lot of it's luck, a lot of it's hard work, a lot of it's approach, some of it's talent, but certainly a lot of it is knowing the right people and having them in the right spots and being able to take advantage of that. In terms of where did I live, when I first got to San Diego in December of 1990, I moved to PB. I lived in Pacific Beach in the Oakwood Apartments across the street from Rockies. And I stayed there for about, I want to say 6 or 9 months. And then the station that I worked for at that time, 690 AM, had a deal with this awesome apartment complex right near the stadium. So then they put me in one of those apartments. So I lived in PB, and I lived right around the stadium, and then I moved back to Los Angeles. Nikki in Houston asks, hey, Rome, are you letting the boys watch the McGregor-Mayweather fight? War family time at the circus. Thanks, Nikki. 100%. Of course. Of course. The boys are all about the fight. Why would I not let the boys watch that fight? Of course. So yes, Nikki, the answer is yes, they will. Jesse, I'll read this one because it comes from Germany. We know where you stand on peanut butter, but where do you stand on orange juice? Are you team pulp or team no pulp? Thanks, Jesse. I don't feel as strongly about the orange juice debate as I do the peanut butter debate, and I'll go either way. But if I have to pick one, I gotta be honest, pulp does not offend me. Pulp does not offend me like creamy peanut butter offends me. And again, I'm not going contrarian with it. That's really the way I feel. Anybody else? There is your ATP. I am efforting Dana White. Dana's got a lot going on this week. I'm going to try and slide him in for one more conversation before the fight itself. I asked the question, who is the coolest college football coach there is right now? You know, the game is getting younger and younger and younger. And you've got to be able to relate to young players. So who's the coolest? Let me put you another way. How was your Friday? Probably not as good as the Nebraska Cornhuskers football team's Friday was. Then again, how was your boss? Probably not as chill as the Cornhuskers head coach, Mike Riley. Now, I can say that with certainty because there really is not a dude out there who's cooler than Mike Riley. Now, allow me to defend this. I already know he's like the nicest coach I've ever spoken to. Now I'm going to make an argument that he's as cool of a coach as there is. Check this video from Thursday that surfaced over the weekend. Mike Riley walking into a team meeting with not one, but two surprises for his squad.
You know, for I've been looking at this for a few days, talking to the coaches, studying it, and we think, and I really believe, that you should have the day off tomorrow. But I got one more thing for you. There you go. You're going to Kendrick Lamar.
That sound you hear, that's the team losing their collective domes over Riley hitting them with a stack of Kendrick Lamar tickets for his sold-out show in Lincoln on their day off. That's pretty strong. Not only a day off, but a day off and ducats to that sold-out show. Mike freaking Riley, if you need him. One thing to get a day off in the middle of summer. especially when you're talking about a day off from football practice, but entirely another to get a day off and a ticket to the best MC on the planet right now, touring the hip-hop record of the year. Listen, Kendrick might not be your jam, but he pretty much is everyone's in that locker room. And that's what makes Mike Riley so awesome. This dude's 64. 64, but he didn't break out some stubs to Neil Diamond or Jimmy Buffett. My man had a grip of tickets to see KDOT. Hip and in touch does not begin to do Mike Riley justice, because this is a guy whose pinned tweet is a snap of him and Chance the Rapper. I mean, credit to a 64-year-old for keeping up enough to know who Drake is, but being so plugged in to know who Chance the Rapper is and pin that tweet at the top of your profile as a football coach in Nebraska is pretty legendary. So, of course, my man was backstage with Kendrick taking pics and captioning them with Kendrick's lyrics. And you might go ahead and say, wake up, Rome. You know, he's got a staffer, a young staffer to do that for him. Yeah, maybe he does and maybe he doesn't. Maybe he is that cool. You see, this is a coach that I've known and I've talked to for a long, long time. Sneaky cool, Mike Riley. Except it's not so sneaky anymore. Not when it keeps happening. Because if you don't know, you're not paying attention. Mike Riley has been surprising his players for a long time, going back to Oregon State days, when he rerouted a team bus to In-N-Out after his guys shocked UCLA. And he ordered 200 double-doubles for a squad. I asked him back in 2014, when he got to Nebraska, what he was going to do for his burger fix now. You are aware that there are no In-N-Outs in the state of Nebraska, right?
Well, you know what? I'm going to have to explore a little bit. I'm disappointed in that now. We're going to have to find something else that's kind of popular in this area.
It's not a worry, right? He's rebounded nicely. What guy on any of those teams is not going to run through a wall for a dude that picks up the tab on In-N-Out and pulls off surprises like the Kendrick Lamar surprise? You'd probably think the coolest coach in sports lives in maybe Los Angeles or New York or Miami or Chicago. But the coolest coach right now in college lives in Lincoln, Nebraska. And the dude is 64. His name is Mike Riley. Sneaky, sneaky cool. Except not so sneaky anymore. 64 years old and picking up his guys like that. Well done, Riles. Well done. 64, acting like he's 34. Cornhuskers loved it. Of course I'm going to let my kids watch that fight. Why wouldn't I? Hey, Jimmos, is that the sun or the moon? I hear that at noon, it will last for 25 minutes. It would be really cool to be at the zoo. Apparently the animals all freak out. All overheard while the building emptied out to stare the sun down. War Eclipse guy correcting each theory with his binoculars, box, and lined up to get the best view. PJ and the Mile High. Like I said, I'm not a big eclipse guy, but we've got a big eclipse house. And my kids, who have not started school yet, we're all fired up for it. Even Janet partook. She went to the gym. She brought her camera. She had it all dialed in, and everybody looked at it. Gotta say, I'm probably gonna stop efforting Dana White shortly. Didn't find him, but I'll find him soon enough. That's how it is the week of. Looking for your thoughts. Are you going to watch the fight? What do you think is going to happen in that fight? And once it's over, is that gonna be a fight that we're all talking about in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? Or is that a fight that we're not talking about 5 minutes after the fact? I mean, obviously it's gonna depend on what happens. If Floyd Mayweather loses that fight, how bad is that for him, and then how bad is that for boxing? And if Conor McGregor loses that fight, how bad is that for him, and how bad is that for MMA? I'm going to say that if Conor loses that fight, it's not a big deal at all, honestly. I mean, he would have to look so bad. He would have to look so bad losing that fight for that to stick to him. I don't think it will, for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's stepping in to fight Floyd Mayweather at his fight. Floyd wouldn't last a minute fighting Conor in the octagon, so nobody expects Conor to win. Number two, in MMA especially, everybody loses. I've made that point countless times. In MMA, everybody, no matter how good you are, loses. They all get beat. It's expected in MMA. Conor has lost, and he bounced right back. Everybody loses in MMA. So if Conor loses, MMA fight fan won't care about that. They're not going to hold that against him. I mean, he'd have to go out there and look so horrible and so overmatched. And with Conor, I don't think that's going to happen. Guy's got way too much of a self-belief. He's got way too good a work ethic. I'm not saying that he's going to be really comfortable, and I'm not saying that he's going to win that fight or look great when he gets out there, but he's not going to be embarrassed or look so bad that it's going to stick to him. Now, Floyd loses, that's a bad, bad thing. Bad for him and bad for boxing. How could it be anything other than horrible for boxing if a guy who's never boxed professionally steps in and beats a Hall of Famer who was undefeated? So that would be way worse for Floyd than it would be for Conor. Didn't find Dana White, but I'll look for him again tomorrow, and we'll see then. In case you missed it, we had a major announcement. We have got a new podcast. It's dropping next Tuesday, and then every Tuesday thereafter, original content, premium content, a brand new program to speak of. It's not repurposed. We're not going to cut down the best of the Daily Jungle. I mean, we're going to still do that, but this is an entirely new podcast, the Jim Rohn Podcast. Make sure you get subscribed. Time now for the huge call. Alvy, if you've got nothing else to do right now, why don't you go ahead and roll that thing for me?
And I started coming around to that back in May after Blaine Gabbert signed with Arizona. And I think Brian Fitzpatrick was picked up. And you saw these quarterbacks that were getting jobs who he had played better than, who he had a better resume than. And, you know, I think there's a lot of things that go into this. I don't think it's collusion by the owners. I think there's a certain tier of owners that are not going to take him, but there's also owners who would probably take him because they feel confident in their head coaches. I think if Alex Smith wasn't the quarterback here, Colin Kaepernick might be a backup option because he took Michael Vick. But the biggest thing nobody talks about is that for Kaepernick to get a job, he has to have people believe in him and trust him and support him. And right now, the last three coaches who coached him are not in the NFL, Jim Harbaugh, Chip Kelly, and the other guy who was out in San Francisco between those two, whose name I forget now.
Tom Sula.
And the Tom Sula. And the GM who drafted him is Trent Baalke, is out of a job. So really all he has is Greg Roman, who's the offensive coordinator in Baltimore, and that's not enough clout to get you onto a roster somewhere. So
this is the game, Doug!
That was Jeffrey Chidiha, who is an NFL.com senior columnist, also an NFL Network analyst. My thanks to him. Jason Lockenfora also made it in. We missed on Dana White, but I'll try and reschedule that before the end of the week. Thanks again to the XR4TI. Thank you for all of you for listening. And we do have a new podcast debuting next Tuesday, August 29th. Remember, you want to get to iTunes and Google Play and make sure you subscribe. After you check out that first episode, do me a solid, leave a review. Again, it's that easy. Find it, subscribe to it, review it, and then just enjoy it. Thank you very much for listening. See you tomorrow. We are out.